Gideon's banquet. What a wonderful testimony they have, and what a marvelous work they are doing. They're no stranger to anyone. If you've ever been to a motel, you'll find that in that, if you don't find a Bible in a motel room somewhere, any place in America, I can just about guarantee you that somebody got that Bible and took it with them. And when the Gideons find out that that Bible's not there anymore, they will certainly, there'll be a replacement. But they don't mind if a traveler comes to a room and they find a Bible there and they take it with them. Well, they've got to live with that. But I can't imagine anything that's more valuable to steal than the Word of God. But nonetheless, it's still wrong. But the Gideons are perfectly prepared to make sure that there's a replacement for that Bible. Brother Donald Peel comes to us today to speak to us on behalf of the Gideons, and we certainly appreciate him and his family and his friends to come and fellowship with us today. Make him welcome, will you, as he comes to share with us. Brother Donald?
It was just a Gideon Bible, and into the drawer it went. As the maid straightened the room for another person to rent, that night a man checked in, and he laid a gun on the bed. He knew when the maid came tomorrow that she'd find that he was dead. He searched the room for paper and pen to write a final goodbye when that just-placed Gideon Bible in the desk drawer caught his eye. He opened it and leafed through its pages, and then he began to read, for God's Word is never so special as for one with such a great need. It told him his life was not over, and there was a God above who could forgive for any sin and had for him unconditional love. Church, we may not always be there to rescue such a soul in need, but just a Gideon Bible, God's holy word, can be there to do the deed. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, good folks here at Powhatan Freeville Baptist Church, my wife and my friends. We count a privilege to worship in here with you today. Gideons, who are we? We're born again Christian business and professional men. Did you ever know this? Think about this being a total church ministry. Church provides everything. You provide the prayers for us that we travel on. You provide the men. All the manpower comes right from the congregation, just like you there this morning. And then you provide the resources for us to place scriptures around the world, an arm of the church reaching the lost for Christ. You send us out to bring them in with probably many folks in this church here has been touched or maybe were led to come to a pastor because of reading a scripture placed somewhere. From the humble beginning back in 1899 to today, three men met together. Today we're over 250,000, getting all good members around the world in 186 countries, placing God's Word in 86 different languages. And we think about how it's grown, and over 70.7 million scriptures placed last year, now a total of about 1.4 billion since we began. It just blows my mind, and I'll think about it. Man didn't do it. God put it all together. Our only objective is to win men and women, boys and girls, to our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. We do this by personal witness. We're business professional men out in the highways and byways of life and have many opportunities to share His love. And also, what we're best known for is placing God's Word. Why do it? It's scriptural. That song we sung about the Macedonian call this morning over in Acts 16:9, there come a call Paul heard in a vision one night to come over to help us, we pray. And Paul gathers his folks together, and there they went. In Isaiah 55:10-11, we read from that great prophet's word. He said, as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but it watereth the earth, and causeth the seed to sprout, and the root to grow, giving seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It will not come back. It shall not return to me void, but it will accomplish that which I please and will prosper in the thing whereto I have sent it. You know, there is a universal truth could be spoken here this morning, down at the corner, anywhere in the world, and it'd be 100% truthful. And that would be this: people need Jesus. Great hunger in the world, that void that God places in every human being that only He can fill. After distribution in Romania one day, young lady received a testament, and she just so joyfully took it and inquired to the men, and they openly shared Jesus with her, and she read and accepted the Lord. But she got through, she said to the men, said, "You know, I always knew there was somebody just like Jesus. Thank you for sharing Him with me." Do you ever think of the Bible as a missionary? In my hand is the Holy Bible. Here's a missionary that never speaks at the wrong time. It never says the wrong thing. It never has to come back home on furlough. It's on duty 24 hours a day, and it's swifter, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. Jesus is in the book. He tells the people about it. One sad part I have to report to you today is many people don't have the book. Last year, for every scripture we placed, for every two we placed, there were three hands reaching out around the world. Bible's always given, either placed in a hotel, motel, or hospital, or given one-on-one to different individuals. A little young lady from Africa received a testament one day. She read it. She received Christ as a Savior. She sat down and wrote a letter to international headquarters and said something like this. She said, "Thank you for not selling your books. For if you sold your books, I wouldn't have one of your books. But because you give your books freely, I now have God's word in my hand and Jesus in my heart." She says, "Thank you," this morning. Only 17 out of these 186 countries are self-supporting, which means that all the others look to us to send God's word. Not all of it. Gideon's in that country raised some funds, but the majority of it, 80% of all the scriptures in the 186 countries around the world come from right here in America. Twin boys were born to a Christian couple, raised in the church from childhood up. At age 16, they literally broke their parents' hearts. They took a vow to be atheists. Can you imagine a child of yours coming to you and said, "I just don't believe in any of this"? The parents argued with them. The parents prayed with them, prayed for them. I don't know if they prayed with them. Prayed for them. But they were smart young fellows. They just couldn't get anywhere, and finally they quit arguing, but they never stopped praying. They lived in a college town, one that had a university at it. And after they graduated from high school, when they were 18 years of old, they enrolled in the local university. On a cold, rainy winter day, Kevin Gillespie got off the bus to go to his first class. When he got off the bus, there was a man standing just near the bus stop with an overcoat on, hat, umbrella, box of Bibles, offered him a little green testament. Kevin said, "I'm ashamed to tell you what I said to that man." It went on about 50 yards further, and there was another one. Looked just like the first fella. Hat, overcoat, umbrella, passing out scriptures. He mumbled something to him. Went on about 50 yards further, and as far as he could see, he said, there was men passing out scriptures. So when he got to the third one, he couldn't think of a word to say, so he just took it. On the way to his first class, much to his own surprise, to his own self, he began to read from Matthew, got over into the genealogies. When he got to his first class, time for it to turn out, it was a little bit early, he sat down and he got over to the Sermon on the Mount. And he said, "Wow, I never read anything like this. What power there is there." When the class turned out, Kevin didn't go in. He sat there and kept reading his testament. About 30 minutes later, he got it and went home, skipped all the rest of his class today. That day, he read the entire little book, New Testament. All of the Gospels, the Acts, the Epistles, Revelation. About 10 o'clock that evening, the Holy Spirit dealt with his heart, and he graciously, just overwhelmingly surrendered his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, joy just filled his heart, glowed around him in the room. But deep down, there was a burden. And that burden was this. Kevin's twin brother, Keith, was just two doors down. And the burden was, you've got to go tell your brother. That's what it's all about, isn't it, folks? Telling our brothers around the world. You got to go tell your brother. Now, he said, that twin brother of mine was a smart one. I never won an argument with that boy in my whole life. But nonetheless, the Spirit said, go tell your brother. He walked down the hallway, knocked on the door, and his brother Keith said, come in, Kevin. As he opened the door, he found his brother Keith on his knees and said, come in, let me share Jesus with you. I just received him as my Savior. From two Bibles that were placed, two lives that were changed, two souls that were saved. Praise the Lord. Russia, you've heard a lot about Russia. 1989, when the walls came down, the doors opened, and we were ready, and we went in. First Bibles placed in Moldova. Two churches in that town. Today there's over 30 churches in Moldova. Russians are having a hard time economically, but they are ready and willing to go and put the word out. One old gentleman in his 80s goes to the schools, and he has a walk. And they say, how do you do it? He said, well, it's not hard at all. We sent him in Bible boxes of 100. He said, I put one under each arm, one on my back, and here I go. Some of them get on the skis and take them all around the remote areas and take God's word out. Over at the state fair, a Gideon from a church escorted or went with a group of citizens from his church. And his grandson said, Granddad, can I go along? He said, well, I guess you can. It was on a weekday, so he skipped school that day, and he went along. And after seeing all the exhibits and things, the little boy wanted to go down and throw some balls down where they set these bottles up and do it. And he said, okay, we'll go down in a minute. And we got down, and there they were, and the little boy was ready to go. And the granddad saw a young man sitting there in the booth in the back. He said, reading the little brown testament just like this. He says, wait a minute, son. He called a young man up. He said, son, do you know what you're reading? He said, oh, yes, sir. This is the word of God. Do you know who it tells you about? It tells all of them. Oh, yes, it tells about Jesus. Have you received him as your personal Savior? Oh, yes. Last Tuesday night, right, I got on my knees and invited Christ in my life. You see that trailer over there? We have a chaplain, and every chance I get, I go over to be with that chaplain. He said, well, son, says, would you mind telling me how you got that testament? He said, no, sir, I don't mind telling you. He said, but you're going to have a hard time believing it. He said, the other night I was thirsty. You see that Coke machine over there? I went over there to get me something to drink. I put my money in that Coke machine, but I didn't get a Coke. That little testament fell out. Church, I can't tell you how I got there. I don't know where that Coke man was a Gideon, or the Lord just put it there for that young man. But I do know this much. That day, that Coke machine gave out the real thing. Twice a year, Gideon sponsored what they call the Extension Outreach Program, which is simply this. For a two-week program, 22 prosperous Gideons from the United States and 10 from these other self-supporting countries go to these poor countries and help them distribute scriptures. They go to work. They have a lot of other blitzes in between, but these, they allow from 7 to 10 days, but this one goes for a full 2 weeks. Had the privilege of going to Venezuela in November of 2002. We did not go on a sightseeing tour. Two qualifications you had to have to go, besides getting all your shots before you went, was you had to be able to pay your own way, of course, which all Gideons do, and then to be able to work for 12, 14 hours a day. We had the privilege of going into the jails, standing on the street at the universities, passing out students, going into the schools, hospitals. The hospitals, no air conditioning for the most part, only in the operating room did they have air conditioning. Situation was quite harsh to us. We fared all right. We did have a hotel, and we ate well while we were there. We were careful where the water we drank. We had 2 bottles of water left in our room every morning before we go out. But the important thing was we went from place to place, placing God's word. Those 2 weeks we were there, we placed 357,000 copies of God's word. Church, you were there. You helped send God's word there. Some of the schools were tough. They were having a hard time in Venezuela. Matter of fact, the teachers hadn't been paid for 3 months. And they had went on a strike. But some of the schools were open. And we could go to those schools. We could share God's word with them. We could go briefly through the plan of salvation. How many would invite Christ into their life today in church? Hundreds upon hundreds said, yes, we want to live for Jesus. I'll never be the same fellow again after going there. Down in Peru, a young fellow received a testament. He was in engineering school, he was over out of Peru. He got assigned to Peru after he graduated, but he received a testament in college. He read it and received Christ as his Savior, and he got assigned over into JN Peru. There went to work for an oil company, and he moved into an area which was known for witchcraft. Gil put up a sign out front of his house, free Bible lessons. Nobody came. Raining very hard one day, and Gil's house began to leak. House began to fill with water. He took a bucket with boiling water out of the front door. Here come an old filthy, wet dog, ran into his house, grabbed up his testament, and took off with it down the street. Gil gives chase, but after running a little while, the dog ran right into the witch doctor's house. And he said, I wouldn't go in that ungodly place. He just gave up the chase and went back. 2 weeks later, the witch doctor came and knocked on Gil's door. He said, I want to receive Bible lessons. He said, not long ago, an old, mangy dog ran into my house and brought this little book into my house. He opened it and he read into Psalms, and he got convicted about living in idolatry, and he wanted to know more about what was in that book. Gil shared with that witch doctor God's forgiving grace, and there he received Christ as his Savior. That's not all of it. That witch doctor, after he accepted Christ, he went home and led his whole family to the Lord. Then he introduced his niece to Gil. They got married, and now Gil is the bride of a pastor. His wife is the bride of Gil, and they pastor a church there in JN, Peru. We would like, and we thank you for being partners for us in this ministry. What can you do to help? Pray for us. In some areas, Gideons are at risk. And I wouldn't have you believe that me or this good brother here are any more risk. I think our greatest risk is traveling up and down Highway 70 out here. But in some of the countries, they're actually at risk for their life. In a recent uprising in Rwanda, half of the Gideons in one camp were killed. Things are quieting down now. They have restored the camp, and they are still placing scriptures there. Join us. We need men. The field out there is white in the harvest. We need more help. Laborers a few. God speaks to your heart and say, I'd like to help place Bibles around the world. If you've been a professional man, retired. We got a lot of retirees. I was not, but I am now, so sort of speaking. See us after the service. See the good pastor. See you get in your brother here in the church. Jesus said, behold, I stand before you an open door. Never has the doors been opened anymore. In India, doors are wide open. No more new missionaries can go into India, but you can place scriptures all over the country, wide open. They're crying for, send us God's word. Several ways you can give. The pastor's taking care of the offering, but there is a memorial Bible program. I'm sure you have the rack in the church where at the home going or loved one, you can give scriptures. And the pastor of the church is already taking care of the offering today, but let me just share what it does. $25 to buy five of these Bibles. $139 provide an average classroom of 30 students with a little red testament of their very own right here in your county. This Bible placed in a hotel or motel has a life expectancy of 6 years. During that 6 years, 2,300 people were trafficked to the average hotel or motel room. A potential witness of 2,300. $100, 20 Bibles, 20 times 2,300, 46,000. Hey, that's like Billy Graham preaching to a whole big congregation. You can be a witness through sending God's word out. And this is vitally important. Because you and the others like you gave last year in El Salvador, after distribution there at a military base, the five Gideons followed the men to the gate. So tell us more about what's in that book. There at the gate, they led all five of those men to a saving knowledge of the Lord. They say thank you. Thank you for giving. God bless you. And I leave you with this scripture. For God will never forget your work and labor of love, which ye have shown toward his name. Thank you once again. To God be the glory.
Thank you so much, Brother Donald. We appreciate that presentation, and we love you. And what I would like to do is to recognize Gideons, all the Gideons that might be present here in the sanctuary. If you will, if you'll stand. Amen. Let's give them a round of applause. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. I am I'm so proud of Buck. Buck has been, and he doesn't want me to, I know he doesn't want me to say this, but he has been a great inspiration to me and a great encouragement to me. And when we had the opportunity to go to the banquet the other night, you know, you always think it just seems like the devil just wants to interrupt anything that you're invited to do on behalf of the Lord. He always wants to give you that that way out so that you've got something else to do. And I want you to know that Thursday, I was scheduled to go to that banquet, the devil gave me two other legitimate reasons why I should not, why I should cancel out of that banquet. But I just persevered right on through, and what a wonderful blessing it was to me. And so we appreciate the Gideons so much. Let's get our hymnals, and we'll stand for the benediction. I'm going to ask Brother Donald and his lovely wife and his their friends, if they will, if they'll stand at the front door. We want to give you the right hand of fellowship as we leave. Amen.